Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, Ugly Podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm recording now. Babu.
As am I.
Babu. Yeah, okay. Should I start it like that? Just me singing? That's our cold open. Let's put that before the intro.
Fine.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
All right. Welcome. I don't know how to start this. Ba ba ba. Come on
Let's just do the thing. Listen. Hi, my name is Lena Knatzer, and I am a what? A Gleek. What are you, Ian? Wait, what's your name?
My name is Ian. That was a really good guess. Mm-hmm. And I am a when? A Gleek.
Nice. How's it going, Ian?
At the top, I would just like to get this out of the way. When this episode drops,
in the United States,
the election will have already happened. When this episode is being recorded, the election has not happened. So we are not going to talk about anything. And also, it's just, you know, no matter what happens, it'll just be fun escapism, you know, to just listen to this episode and pretend that everything is normal. So
sure,
there you go.
And then as soon as the hour and a half is over, or however long this podcast is, sometimes it's an hour 50, then you can get back to doing the damn thing and working on making this country better. So eek. I'm very nervous. Are you so nervous? Like I'm full of anxiety.
Yeah, I'm pretty nervous.
Yeah. Yikes, there's not much else to say about it. I dropped off my ballot. last week sometime, but I posted the video today because I was very nervous to post the video because I come from a family that is doesn't politically align with me, so they give me a lot of so I was nervous. And I'm still nervous that they're gonna like swipe up on my Instagram story and be like, "You traitor!" And I'll be like, "Eek, sorry." So I don't know. Let's talk about Halloween. Ian, tell me about your Halloween. How was your Halloween?
Actually, here's the deal. I have a really complicated relationship with Halloween. I know it's your favorite holiday.
It is.
My favorite holiday is Thanksgiving, and here's why. Thanksgiving is the most low-stakes holiday possible.
Totally.
I'm a person that I put a lot of pressure on stuff. And if it doesn't live up to expectations, I get very disappointed. And so for Thanksgiving, literally all that is expected of Thanksgiving is that you eat good food and you're with people you like. And if you do two of those two things, the holiday's a success. Halloween, it's like you have to have a good costume and you need to like go to some party and you need to like be scared at some point. Like there's such a big checklist. And it has always just been too overwhelming for me. And so I have consistently had bad Halloweens, especially because it's so hard to have a proper Halloween when you don't get work or school off.
Yeah, like, totally.
You have to, like,
on a Tuesday. Yeah,
yeah, it was all, like, in college, I would be like, I remember a Halloween where I literally spent the entire day studying because I had tests the next day. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this Halloween freaking blows. So I've always had a really hard time with Halloween because I feel like it never lives up to expectations because life is too busy for that. All this to say, I had a very good Halloween this year.
Good. I'm so glad. That's actually awesome.
I think it was because the pandemic put my expectations absolutely in the crapper. And so I was like, honestly, if I do anything for Halloween, I'll be happy I did it. And so my sister and I, as I mentioned before, we dressed as Wednesday and Pugsley Adams. Mm-hmm. And then her husband, who has like shoulder length hair, he dressed as Cousin It. And he just like combed it in front of his face and put sunglasses on.
It looks so funny, dude.
And then we watched Stranger Things. And then we watched both of the 90s Addams Family movies. And we ate some candy, and that was my Halloween. And
that's
honestly,
awesome.
It was great. It was a great day. I had a very good time. How was your Halloween?
My Halloween was awesome. So my Halloween, I mentioned this maybe a little bit on the podcast last week, but me and my best friend, Kaden, we made Halloween a whole week-long thing. So we watched horror movies every single night. And then on Saturday, we woke up early and we made like a big like sausage and potato and cheese soup with like roasted vegetables and rolls. And it was amazing. And we watched horror movies that whole day too. And then we like sat outside and like looked at the full moon and like just had fun. I didn't get to dress up this year, which I am sad about.
Good.
But like, yeah, I didn't go anywhere. I just had fun and I watched scary movies. And I love scary movies. We ended up watching 16 scary movies in total throughout the week, which, like, how did I do that?
But okay.
I really did. But what?
But one of them was Sorority Row.
No.
Yes?
We didn't watch Sorority Row. No.
No?
No, I just looked it up.
Because you texted me.
And listen,
honestly,
I wanted to watch it. I think it's on Hulu for stream. I wanted to watch it, but, like, I am only one person. I was in a group. It couldn't happen. I'm sorry. I will watch it, though. I really wanted to watch it. And I told Caden, I was like, we should watch Sorority Row. Like, you know, we should watch it.
For the pod.
And he was like, eh. And honestly, we watched a lot of really good movies last week that it would have brought the mood down.
What was I going to say? Oh, my sister and I are just, because we, like, really wanted to go ham on scary movies, but there's only so much time in the day between, like, work and, I guess, just work, because we don't go anywhere. But we literally were marathoning Hill House and Bly Manor and all three seasons of Stranger Things.
Yep.
So, like, we had our plate full.
Oh, definitely.
So, it's still Halloween, and last night we watched The Boy.
I watched that movie on Saturday. I watched it on Saturday for the first time. I have
literally,
to tell you.
What?
How did you feel about it?
I really liked it.
I liked it too!
Literally, movie...
Go ahead.
This is my sister's own fault, but... And I'll redact the spoilers, so if no one's seen it, you know, like, it won't spoil anything. But my sister... was because she'd seen it before and she was like, we have to watch The Boy. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
And it starts and it's the very first scene and she like walks into the house and she meets the boy and I say, redacted. And she was so pissed that
really?
I guessed it immediately.
That sucks. That really
All right,
sucks.
I'll cut back in here.
Yeah. But I someone spoiled that whole movie for me before. I didn't even get the opportunity to guess it. Someone spoiled it for me before. Doesn't that suck?
No.
But Caden fell asleep. It was the very last movie we watched on Saturday night. Caden fell asleep, so I kept texting him my reactions, like, as the movie was ending.
Like, the movie is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
And yet, the ending of that movie is straight up terrifying.
It's so terrifying. Hear me out. Easily one of the scariest movies we watched last week. I'm not scared by much. But, like, just, it was, like, the idea of the whole movie, like, really messed with me. I was like, ooh.
I will 100% just Frankenstein monster that conversation. So, we talk about The Boy, but it's spoiler free.
Anyway, that was Halloween.
Yeah, that was Halloween. Mm-hmm. How's the rest of your life? How's your few days been? Literally, after doing this podcast, it's all I did for like 5 days.
Yeah.
Because we did 2 episodes last week, and then on the episodes that we weren't recording, I was editing. Mm-hmm. So I went from like 5 straight days of this podcast totally. To no podcast for a week, and it was very bizarre.
Yeah. It's fine.
It was fine.
My life, I mean, like, I'm just doing school. All I do now is I have like, I'm not taking a lot of classes. I have like 1 class a day, and then I work. Monday is my day off, so that's when we do the podcast. So I just would like, you know, work all day, and I would, you know, read fan fiction while I work because I'm only human. And then I go home, and then I watch a scary movie with Caden. But now Caden's starting rehearsals for his dance concert, so now I'm just bored.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, but that's all I do. I'm fine. Have you watched The Mandalorian?
No.
No? Why?
I know. I'm a bad person because it was Halloween and I had to do Halloween stuff.
On Friday?
And also, like, my sister's never seen. Well, we were trying to finish Stranger Things, and Stranger Things is 30 hours long.
Yeah.
And my sister's never seen it, so I can't just, like, watch season 2 with her. So I am, like, approximately 8 minutes into the first episode of season 2. And I also finished Schitt's Creek either. Okay. So I'm juggling a lot of stuff right
now. Totally. You got a lot on your plate. I get that. Nope,
I got a lot of TV to watch.
Yeah.
I'm so busy. I have no time to do anything else.
Yeah.
Also, remember last fall when I just like randomly got really into You Oughta Know by Alanis Morissette for like 2 weeks?
Yeah, that was super random.
So it happened again.
But with the musical version?
No. I have tried to listen to Jagged Little Pill, the musical, and I can't get into it.
Okay.
Just Alanis Morissette. I listen to that song like 4 or 5 times a day while I'm door dashing.
It's honestly so good.
It's a fantastic song.
It is.
It's very good.
One time, me and Ian were hanging out with our dear, dear friend of the podcast, Kennedy Jones, and she had never heard that song before. And we just, like, it was, like, the middle of the night. I don't know what we were eating, but it was probably greasy. And we were, like, sad about something. I think I was sad about something. And you and Kennedy were comforting me. And I was sitting in the rocking chair. And you and I, it was, like, 2 a.m. And we're just screaming that song at the top of our lungs. And Kennedy was like, what the hell is going on? Oh, I love that song.
It is, like, bless Alanis Morissette. It is the ultimate I am pissed off at the world song. It is like so angry. It is so like yelly and intense. I love it.
You remember who that song is written about, right?
Heck yeah, Dave Coulier, friend of the podcast.
He is not our friend of the podcast. We cannot love that song and then still love Dave Coulier.
I can do whatever I want.
This is like Full House podcast.
Me and Dave Coulier go way back.
Oh, do you?
What is his character on Full House?
Uncle Joey.
Uncle what?
Joey.
Uncle Joey. I was in a Full House kid, so.
I was so a Full House kid. I owned like a bunch of the DVDs, like a bunch of the seasons on DVD for some weird reason. I was like 9 years old, obsessed with Full House.
No, that wasn't a thing in my house at all. I think I've seen like 3 episodes, but I really? Every time I listen, yeah. Every time I listen to that song, and it's like, and every time I scratch my nails down someone else's back, I hope you feel it. And I'm like, she's telling this to Dave Coulier.
Yeah.
It's like Uncle Joey with his dumb gopher puppet. And she's like, when I freaking claw down someone else's back because I'm getting so hot and heavy,
yeah.
I hope you and your gopher puppet can feel that crap.
Can you just imagine him and his gopher puppet in the middle of a movie theater and someone
and Alanis is just like, here we go.
Let's do
this. Oh my
thing.
God.
Gross. Learning that changed something in my mind.
I somehow.
For the worse, for sure.
I somehow. Well, this isn't a shock. That song came out the year I was born, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So by the time I was like old enough to understand, it had kind of like. It had done its time.
Right.
So
and I don't know anything about that anyway. What? What's that about? Huh?
I also don't know what she's talking about. What did she go down on in a theater? What does that mean? I don't get it. Was she giving someone a back scratch? Why would she want him to feel that?
Yeah, isn't that a nice thing?
But so I didn't hear that song until I was like older. And so I somehow already knew going in that it was Dave Coulier.
I have never heard that song and not known that it was Uncle Joey. I am clutching my pearls. How did you know that? I learned that from TikTok like 2 months ago.
No, I've known that for years.
What the hell? Who told you
that? I had never heard the song all the way through. I'd known the I'm here to remind you. I'd like known all that. But I'd never heard the like explicit parts of the song.
Yeah. So I like the gate that we made was unable.
And so by the time I actually like heard the parts that you have to visualize Dave Coulier doing, I knew it was Dave Coulier.
Oh, God.
So my innocence was robbed from me a long time ago.
Do you remember how you found out?
How would I have found out? I couldn't tell you. I think the internet told me. No. Mm. Oh, no. That's totally a thing that Connie would have told me.
Mm.
I feel like my oldest sister knew that and she told me. Because that's the kind of thing that she would know and broadcast to other people. Anyways, let's...
You ready to talk about this
maybe
episode?
Maybe talk about Glee.
Yeah, maybe. All right. So, this was the episode we watched was called Mattress. It aired on December 2nd, 2009, and it was directed by our girl, Elodie Keene, and written by that one guy, Ryan Murphy. So here are some clocks for you to learn something about the episode Mattress. All right. So, the songs in this episode. What? Go ahead.
The connection is getting real wonky, and just sound like T-Pain right now.
Really?
Yeah, it sounds like you're being auto-tuned.
Yeah. I hate that. Should we like pause and try something else?
I think it's probably fine.
Okay, well, let me know.
To remind you
of the mess you left when you went away.
It's not fair.
It's not fair.
To deny me
of the cross I bear that you gave to me. I don't know.
All right, now that because
the love that you
system,
gave that we made was unable to make. Fine. This is just the podcast where we sing that song a million times.
This is actually the Alanis Morissette cover podcast. Yeah,
but just that one song.
You may have been misinformed. We're re-theming it. Just you ought to know. So since, you know, every time you record, I'm just like, what if I sang at full volume for no reason?
Yeah.
Our downstairs neighbor.
Oh, no.
We were talking to her on Halloween because we had her take pictures of us. She's also like an old family friend. Like, I've known her for like,
right. Okay.
Ooh, like
oh, cool.
13 years now. But she was telling me that she meets with clients like over Zoom in her apartment, and she was doing it while we were recording, and you could hear me singing. So if any of her clients are down there right now, she said that they couldn't hear it on their end, though. Only she could hear it.
Oh,
and
cool.
She also
oh,
said
cool.
that she didn't want it to discourage me from singing.
Oh,
so.
Wait, that is so sweet.
So, you know, if they hear it, they hear it. You're welcome.
When I was living with my family over quarantine, my sister did the whole, like, do a call center thing from her room downstairs. And I would be, like, this was, like, while I was still in class. So I would be doing class via Zoom over, like, in up north. And I would have to sing. And Aubrey would get so freaking pissed at me. She would be like, you can't sing. And I'm like, I literally have to. She's like, I could get fired. And I was like, you don't even like that job. And, like, it was such a weird thing because, like, yeah, like, she needed a quiet place. But they had to understand that, like, I couldn't not sing. I sing for school, you know? To my knowledge, she never got in trouble, but she is a bitch to me about that kind of stuff. She was so mean. And I'm going to keep that in the podcast. Love her.
We are not cutting that out.
I'm not gonna. Okay. Let's talk about the songs in the episode, shall we? So, we have Smile by Lily Allen, performed by Finn and Rachel. We have Jump by Van Halen, by the New Directions, Smile, Charlie Chaplin, the New Directions. And then we also have When You're Smiling. What? You're freaking me out. What are you doing?
I was dancing along to the songs. I was excited.
But you rolled your hand up.
Trying to keep my energy
up, Lena. What's your comment? You were doing
I don't have a comment. I was dancing along to the songs. I was excited.
Oh, okay.
No, it was. I was putting both my hands in the air.
Oh, okay.
And I was shaking them like just I don't care. Like I just don't care.
I know you don't. Anyway. So then we have Smile by Charlie Chaplin, performed by the New Directions. Good songs, yo.
Very good songs.
Let's jump into these Glacks. So, did you know that the episode was originally called Once Upon a Mattress, but they ran into some
musical?
Like copyright conflicts? Exactly, just like the musical. So the copyrights came into play and they were like, "You can't name your episode that." So in America, they changed the name to Mattress, and then everywhere else it's Once Upon a Mattress. So in like Europe, in like Spanish speaking countries, like it's okay because they like translated it or something. Isn't that interesting?
That is very interesting.
So the Glacks, I have to tell you, on Glee Wiki this week are not great.
Good.
They're not great. So like one of them is like, when the photographer of the shoot begins to pack up his things, Rachel tells him he hasn't even seen her over the left shoulder pose yet, which just so happens to be Leah's signature pose. What a Glack, right?
That honestly, I'm floored.
I know. How did I go so long without knowing that? These Glacks are not winners. One of the Glacks, did you know that in the Sue Sylvester like has her whole dedicated page because for some deranged reason, all of the teachers in this freaking school have their own pages devoted to
them. Yeah, like a full page for each teacher.
I know. And then the Spanish teacher is right by the guidance counselor.
Right?
That doesn't make any sense to me.
It's because the yearbook club wants them to get together. They're big Wemba shippers.
Honestly, it makes sense. The stars have aligned for them. So, but under Sue's picture, it says that she's the coach of the diving team as well.
Oh, NeNe Leakes' future job.
Yeah, right?
Oh.
Interesting,
okay.
Right?
Is that ever mentioned? Like when we, because spoiler alert, but not really, you do meet the diving coach in a few seasons and it is NeNe Leakes.
Yeah.
And is it ever mentioned that she like took over for Sue or do they just forget?
I really don't remember. We'll have to keep an eye out for it. I don't think so.
In like three seasons, we'll check back in.
Hear me out. I think that's them being lazy.
Yeah, I do too.
When I see that, I think that's them being lazy. That's the end of my Glacks. Really lackluster Glacks. I hoped for more for this episode, but, you know, we'll see.
But this episode, you know what? No, I'm not gonna talk about it. We're gonna just plow through to what you missed, and then we're gonna talk about it.
Okay, and then we're gonna talk about it. Okay, tell me what we missed.
Mattress. Everyone, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here's what you missed on Glee.
Glee.
Hit the fan. After the Glee Club picture gets cut from the yearbook due to constantly getting defaced, Will buys a quarter-page picture for the club, but it can only fit two people. Rachel and Finn are chosen to be photographed, but Finn chickens out at the last second. The Glee kids star in a local mattress commercial, unwittingly revoking their amateur status and disqualifying them from sectionals. Will finds out Terry's been faking her pregnancy and ends up spending the night in the choir room on one of the complimentary mattresses from the commercial. Quinn blackmails Sue into giving up one of the Cheerios yearbook pages to the Glee Club. The Glee Club returns the mattresses, reinstating them in sectionals, but since Will slept on one, he's still disqualified, leaving the club without a director 1 week before the competition. And that's what you missed on Glee!
Wow.
Was I too spitty to understand what I was saying?
No, I understood all the words you said. That's awesome.
My salivary glands really kicked it into overtime on that one, let me tell you.
One time I went into a voice lesson, not with my regular voice teacher. It was like a secondary for a musical I was in. And I expressed that concern. I was like, I'm nervous I'm too spitty. And he was like, well, don't. And that was the only advice he gave me.
Just don't be spitty.
Yeah.
Or don't
or
be
I
nervous.
I think it was don't
spitty.
Worry about it. I think it was don't worry about it, but it was just like, well, whatever. And I was like,
okay, thank you.
Okay.
Okay, let's talk
about Mattress.
Let's talk about Mattress.
Look
you guys,
at your face right now. You loved this episode.
This is maybe in my top three of the entire series. I think this episode is a, like, I think this episode is so good. And I will go on the record and say that this is Rachel Berry's best episode.
I would say that. I was actually thinking that too.
This is peak. There is nothing that she does in this episode that I don't absolutely love. She is so funny. Leah Michelle knocks out of the park. It has my two all-time favorite Rachel Berry bits, which are the montage of her being in every single club picture.
It's
especially
very good.
The Black Student Union when the one kid is staring at her up. Like, what are you doing?
I know.
And her trying to convince the other members to be in the picture with her. Those are my two all-time favorite Rachel Berry bits, and they're both in this episode.
Yeah.
She, incredible, amazing, show-stopping, never the same,
seen.
Always different, not afraid to reference or not reference. Incredible.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. The way that she smiles when she's just so excited to be elected, like, president of the Glee Club, like Glee Club captain, she's like she just she's such a good actress. I love her.
Freaking Rachel Berry haters, get out. This is a Rachel Berry fan cast right now for Mattress specifically.
You know, you and I will share Rachel more than anybody. I hate her guts, but also she is so awesome. And especially this first season, she's just a weird goober who, like, has way too many feelings. And you know what? Aren't we all weird goobers with way too many feelings? I know I am.
Yeah.
I see Rachel in this episode and I'm like, that's the most relatable shit.
She is so funny. When she goes and talks, when she's getting her picture taken, and then she hears he's casting a local commercial and she starts crying. And he's like, no, it's okay, I'll take more pictures. And then she looks up and she stopped crying and goes, I can cry on demand.
Mm-hmm.
And then goes, I'm also very versatile. And short of exploitation of animals and nudity, I'll do just about anything to break into the biz. And then puts her hands on her hips.
Hands on her hips.
Incredible! And
it's
she keeps
so
doing, they mention this in Showmance, they call them her Barbie hands. That Leah Michelle keeps doing this thing where she keeps her hands like her fingers are fused together like a Barbie.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll put them on her hips or she'll, like, keep them by her sides. And she does it whenever Rachel gets, like, especially passionate about something.
Mm-hmm.
She does them all the time in this episode. I love it. The writing for her is so strong. Leah Michelle makes such strong choices. When she is telling the club that they got cast in a local mattress commercial and they're all excited and she's all excited, and then Finn goes, seriously? And then she immediately goes, yes Finn.
Like,
so rude and condescending to him.
I know.
Amazing.
I love when she goes up to the mirror and she's like, I have to pull myself together. I'm not like this. And she, like, sings herself a song in her head. Like, Rachel, she is such a sweet bean. I love her.
This episode is the episode that made me decide, like, back in when I was rewatching season one in, like, 2010, this is the episode that made me decide that Rachel Berry was my favorite character, was Mattress.
Yeah. She's amazing.
I could talk about Rachel for 10 years in this episode, but it's going to get very boring. Let's move on to something else. But I just love it!
No, she's awesome. And we'll continue to talk about her. How about we start with talking about the songs?
Let's do it.
So, up first, we have Smile by Lily Allen. I love this song!
Here's the deal.
What's the deal?
This song makes no sense in this episode.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
It is so forced. There is
Even
no
the setup
purpose
is weird.
For it
I
to
know.
Be in it. I don't care. I love this number.
I know, it's so good.
I forgive the writers immediately for, like, the contrived straight up. Can you imagine someone's like, Lena, we need to work on your smile. So we're just going to sing a song about smiling and somehow that will teach you how to smile on camera. It's ridiculous. But
also, this song is about, like, a breakup and being like, sometimes I think about how shy you are and I smile.
Yeah, like, it's that, like, sometimes
so
I think about you crying and it makes me smile. I have no notes. Wonderful.
No,
it makes
wonderful.
No sense. It makes zero sense. Also, Brad, the piano player, is featured heavily.
He is.
There's absolutely no piano in this song.
No,
so what is he playing?
I don't know. If there's anything, there's, like, keyboard, but there's no way it's piano.
But that's,
it's not
grand. that is a grand piano. There is no electric anything in that. But there's a moment at the beginning of the song when Rachel walks around Brad and he looks so fed up and annoyed with her.
Oh, yeah.
It is hysterical.
Bruh. You know what my favorite part of this number is?
What?
Other than all of it. I'm going to bring it back to my mans. Like, you know, we love Rachel. But the way Finn Freak Hudson walks is so bad. He is so top heavy. I encourage you all to go watch this number and just pay attention to how top heavy he is and how fucking flat footed he is. He like leans over and he looks like Frankenstein, and his arms are always like kind of like just weird. Like they're just weird, and I love to see it. It brings me, it sparks so much joy for me. And I love it. And you know what? I hate to say it. I love Rachel and Finn. I ship it. I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't hate to say it. I love to say it. Finchel.
I really do. Finchel is
till the day
everything.
I die, everyone.
Especially in moments like this.
If you're someone who likes to listen to this podcast because you like to hear us crap on Glee, you might want to just skip this episode.
This isn't the one. This really isn't the one. Well, there are things that I don't like in this episode that we can talk about.
You know, I don't know if there is anything I don't like.
Really? Well, we'll get into it then.
I love it so much that even the dumb stuff, I'm like, I don't care. Let's go with it.
Yeah.
All right, next up we got Jump!
I love this number. This is quintessential Glee. Do you hate this number?
No, it's just okay, literally good. This whole episode is us being like, let's talk about Rachel. I love Rachel. Let's talk about Smile. I love Smile. Let's talk about Jump. I love this number.
It's a great freaking episode. It's awesome.
I won't fight you on it.
Okay, so anyway, I'm just looking at my notes, and then I got a glimpse of my notes, because right after this is Will and Terry's big scene. Just saw my notes for that. And I had to laugh. Anyway, let's talk about Jump. I've got my first note is Mercedes did not have to go that hard. And she did that.
A C. And then Amber Riley would do that on tour live. Yeah, every live performance would belt a high C.
Amber Riley is inhuman the way that she sings. It is absolutely so beautiful. She is so amazing. Her control is incredible. Like the way that she just so effortlessly, and in a number that she barely has a solo in this, she's just riffing in the background. And she just, it's Finn's song. She really ripped that from him. She really said, "Fuck you, Finn. This is my song now." And you know what? I love her for it.
Good
I love
for
her for
her.
It. Good for her. It's what she deserves.
This number is so fun. Also, they did this number without Will. Mm-hmm. He even says, because you might believe like, oh, this is a number that like they've been rehearsing in Glee Club and they just did it for the commercial. No, Will says at the end, like, you guys did Jump without me. Then why the heck is he getting paid to coach this club?
I know, because
I would say this is one of the best numbers they've done.
Exactly.
And it was without his help at all.
And they did it in, an afternoon?
Yeah, and literally the owner of the mattress store was like, yeah, okay, how about we don't do the script and you guys come up with something? And yeah, they rehearsed for what, like 30 minutes and pulled this out of their butts? Come on.
And it's moments like this where you can tell how, I don't know, and maybe I'm like, maybe I'm totally deranged in thinking this, but it looks like they're having so much fun. And you can tell that, like, especially, like, the characters who don't have a lot of dialogue, like, you know, Brittany's in the background and Mike's in the background and, like, you know, everyone is just having so much fun and laughing and having a good time. I want to be a part of New Directions so bad in moments like this, you know?
I don't have anything bad to say about this number. No. I'm sorry. If you wanted me to hate on Glee this week, I have some bad news for you. Go listen to Acapellas again. I have nothing bad to say about Mattress.
And also, you guys, you have to understand, there are more bad episodes than there are good ones. And I say that as a longtime Glee lover. So if you're waiting for us to on it, wait a week. Well,
Sectionals is next. Wait,
it's
2 weeks.
It's probably going
to
be great.
Because in two weeks, we get to the back half of season one, and the back half is when the wheels really start coming off the cart.
But hear me out.
I know. We also get Jesse St. James. I know.
My little girl heart cannot handle.
We will become a Jesse St. James stan podcast. We're not going to apologize for that either.
I literally can't. I need you guys to understand. If you want me to shit on Jesse St. James, you're not going to get it. Because you know what I love? A broody man villain.
But there's plenty more that we will crap on. For Mattress, I'm just going to talk about how fun Jump was.
Yeah, and it was awesome. I love their little, you know, matching pajama sets.
Also, how many freaking characters were in that man's script?
I know. And also, all of them are terrible actors, and I love to see it.
But also, they're all supposed to be, like, purposely being bad actors, because that's the joke. And yet, Puck's bad acting just sounds like Mark Salling delivering a line.
I know. That is the tea.
I love the plot point that they are cast in a local commercial that they aren't even getting paid for. They're being paid in mattresses and that's it.
Yeah.
And they, every single one of them, like even Quinn, is like psyched out of their minds, mm-hmm. convinced that they're going to be celebrities. Tina straight up says, I can't believe we're finally breaking into the business.
Yeah.
It is so funny.
I know.
So perfect. My sister is calling me from the other room. One second.
Okay.
Hello? Yeah, what?
Oh my god, I have an idea. Oh, dang it. I'm sorry.
Hi, I'm trying to video chat you. I don't know how.
To remind you. Maybe I can find the chords.
This is gonna be our intermission where we just sing "You Ought to Know" while I send my sister pictures of different cards.
I'm trying to find chords for it. Maybe I could play it on a guitar. I need to find a capo. My room is a mess. Damn it!
I want you to know that I'm happy for you. The thing is, we aren't synced up, so I'm trusting you're following me.
I am.
And every time you say her name, does she know that you told me it'll be until you died? Till you died, they are still alive, and I'm here!
Oakley!
Come on! I'm getting into it.
Here
to remind you of the mess you left when you went away. It's not fair to deny me the cross I bear that you gave to me. You, I don't know. Should we get back to Glee?
No.
Now that I've sent my sister all the pictures of whatever the heck card she needed. Back to Mattress, everyone.
Back to Mattress. That's me playing the guitar. I'm really bad, but very excited about playing.
What? What a descent into absolute madness that was.
Also, I can't even imagine what you were hearing, but it sounded really good from my end. I was following you. I was a good musician.
I was trying my best to keep a tempo and not be distracted.
Good.
Because, like, I would sing, and then a chord would come in 2 seconds later. So, everyone, if we sound off from each other, it's not our fault.
No,
it's the internet's fault.
Hear me out. I think I just learned a really valuable lesson about auditioning. Because sometimes you're, like, trying to follow the piano player. No. The musician can follow you.
They keep up with you. One time I was in an audition, and I was singing Chip on Your Shoulder from Legally Blonde. Mm. And I got to the... Guess you never can tell with Little Miss Woods, L. And then the pianist got so messed up that they stopped playing.
Whoa.
And I had to finish the song, which is like just riffs. And I had to finish it a cappella because I got so lost. They stopped playing. And I was like, anyways, here's me riffing over nothing. Hope you like it. And guess what? I got a callback.
Oh,
so it worked out. I did not book it, but I did get a callback. All right, everyone. Sorry about that lengthy phone call turned concert. Let's get back.
I cannot wait to hear how you have Frankenstein that together. It's going to be very good.
How I abbreviate what was like a 15-minute interruption into being like as short as possible. Because truly, the reason it turned into a concert is I just kept sending different pictures to my sister and she kept responding, no, that's not the thing I need a picture of. And so in the meantime, Lena and I just started singing while I was doing it. Okay, back to what I was saying before. It's just so, it is so perfect. And it like a big problem with Glee in the future is that it kind of like loses the world and everything becomes so like bigger than life in a bad way.
Totally.
This storyline of like them getting cast in a local commercial and getting so starstruck is so like small town, perfectly what it should be. And then the club getting disqualified because they did the commercial because they didn't realize it revoked their amateur status. Like those are very realistic, very grounded stakes.
Just like Cheetah Girls 2.
It is Cheetah Girls 2. Is that what happens?
Yeah.
Because what's her face sings with the Spanish girl? Mm-hmm,
because Belinda, yeah. And then she gets paid.
Because Belinda's mom is a little B word.
But Belinda doesn't take money, remember? She never takes the money for her performances. But the Cheetah Girls did.
But the Cheetah Girls did. Dang.
Yep.
Wow. Honestly, Mattress is just trying to copy Cheetah Girls.
I literally was thinking that.
That's embarrassing. But it is so true to the world that they've created.
Certainly.
And I love it.
Yeah. Have you ever been on like the local news before?
Yes.
Yeah.
One time my neighbor did like, I don't know. I feel like it had to have been more than a lemonade stand because why would that be on the local news? But my neighbor was like doing something that got on the news that was essentially like this 10-year-old girl is like earning money. Isn't that impressive? And I was also 10 years old. So they were coming out to interview her, and of course we were all starstruck that local news was coming.
For sure.
So I, while they were getting B-roll footage, I leapt across the camera. And then I went home. I was like, I'm so funny. Like, I am a comedic genius. Yeah. I am gonna be famous for this. And I go home and I tell my family, I'm like, they were interviewing Casey for the local news and I just leapt in front of the camera, blah, blah, blah. And my mom goes, you did that? I hate when kids do that.
Oh, I was like, mom.
Oh. That
sucks.
I mean, she's right though.
Yeah.
It's very obnoxious.
It is. I have a
story. Have you been on the local news?
I have.
Oh, you sang on the local news.
I did. That was when I was a bit older. I sang on the local news for Big Buddha, which is he's a big Utah guy. He's interviewed you before. I've seen it happen.
He didn't interview me.
Yeah.
He interviewed someone else and I was in the same room.
Yeah.
And then we all sang.
When I was in eighth grade, which like, you know, how often am I going to reference eighth grade on this GD podcast? I think I might have been in eighth grade. I was in Hairspray the Musical. I played Velma Von Tussle, and it was a thing, like...
Honestly, perfect casting.
I know, literally, I'm perfect for that role. And I was when I was 14. Anyway, but we were doing the show, and they had us all come super early to the school, like 5 a.m., and they were, like, trying to see, like, different kids in different segments that they could interview and then show, like, a 30-second bit of the song. So we were gonna do... We had done stuff all morning, and then the last bit was going to be the song I Can Hear the Bells, and they were going to interview me. So I get to the school, and it's not Big Buddha. He's sick that day. It's a different random lady. And then I get fully dressed. Everyone else is like in their school clothes. I get fully dressed, including 60s beehive, and I am literally wearing like blue eyeshadow, ready to be interviewed. And I walk, like, I'm ready to be interviewed, and then she interviews a different kid and, like, goes completely off of what we had planned. And I'm, you know, a 15-year-old, like, on the verge of a nervous breakdown at all times anyway. And she doesn't interview me, so I'm literally standing there, like, waiting, and, like, I'm in this full getup, like, convinced I was going to be interviewed. Everyone else around me is in regular clothes, and then they cut to the number, and you can see me crying. Isn't that so sad? But I was so convinced I was, like, going to be famous from that one interview.
That
I know. Isn't that so sad?
Would be mortifying
it was.
At that age.
I remember going to my, my parents, and my parents, you know, were like, we're so sorry. The other kid that they interviewed was an idiot anyway. And I was like, yeah, he was. Isn't that terrible?
That's so awful.
I know. It was awful. Being on the local news when you're like a kid in a small town, that is everything.
Yeah. It's exciting. That's why I freaking love the storyline, and I love how freaking pumped they all get about it.
They do.
It's so true to what that is like as a child.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we should talk about Charlie Chaplin's smile until the end.
Okay.
Because it's much less a number as it is like...
It's a montage,
you know?
For sure.
And it is like a very good bow on the episode, so I think we should talk about the rest of the episode first.
Totally. What should we talk about first?
Let's start with the first scene.
Okay.
Here's some thoughts on this first scene. One, Ken Tanaka showed up on the screen and I was like... Oh my gosh.
Oh, that guy?
Ken Tanaka's a character in this show.
I know.
Seriously, I had forgotten. I mentioned a few episodes ago that I was like, one thing I respect about Glee is if a character isn't necessary for the plot, they don't include them in the episode. But I'm going to just put a little addendum on that. But sometimes they leave a character out for so long that when they come back, you're like, wait, him? Like, they could have at least had Ken make an appearance.
Yeah, because I think the last episode he was on was the thong saw
was like
mashup.
Vitamin D? Oh, no, it was mashup.
It was mashup. So it's been a long time.
Yeah.
No mashup.
Yeah, I forgot that he and Emma were even engaged because they also have barely talked about it since mashup.
I know. I have a
totally
thought.
Totally over my head.
I know. And I don't like how the show does that, especially with, like, the other people. Like, I'm talking about specifically Terry and Ken. And then they keep putting Will and Emma together. And I'm like, we have been over this how many times?
Mm-hmm.
And you keep putting them in scenes together and then literally cutting their significant others out of the show?
Yeah, to the point.
Come
on. To the point that I forget that Emma's in a relationship with someone else because he never shows up and no one ever talks about him.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, so in that scene, we learn that Ken and Emma have scheduled their wedding to be the exact night of sectionals.
Ba, 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 da.
And Will is pissed. He's like, but that's sectionals. Why would you miss sectionals for your own wedding? Which, like, come on.
But Ken 100% did it out of spite.
Oh, I know that. But also, it just brings up, you know, thoughts I have about, especially weddings, when people get really pissed that, like, people didn't plan their weddings specifically for other people's schedules. And I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that so much. It's their wedding. It's just moments like this. And I see Will being like, I cannot believe you would do that to me, Emma. What the hell? I'm like, it's not your wedding, dude. It's not your wedding.
Also, on another Will note, how does he not know it's yearbook pictures?
He comes in
and he's like, why is everyone getting all...
why is everyone gussied up?
He asks why everyone is all gussied up. But we see over the course of the episode, this episode takes place over like 2 to 3 days.
Oh, I know, yeah.
And picture day isn't until the end of the episode. So actually, I will agree with Will. Why is everyone gussied up 2 days before picture day?
Yeah, and maybe they were doing like individual pictures one day and
maybe,
then group pictures
the next day. Yeah, maybe
it's like
picture week.
Because I think that's normal. I remember my picture stuff, like they would do group photos one day, class photos one day, and then like individual pictures a different day.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's true. I forgot.
But also, he's an idiot if he doesn't know his
no,
picture.
No, but yeah,
day.
how would you forget, William? I love Sue in this scene specifically because many times Sue is nasty and she's trying to hurt other people.
Yep.
In this scene, she is so incredibly apathetic to them that she is, like, being really rude to them, but she's not trying to be rude. She literally, like, could not care less.
Yeah.
She walks up. She does not even remember Ken's name.
Yeah. She's like, you?
Just says you. She just tell when she's telling Will that the Glee Club doesn't get a photo. It's there is, and it makes it so much funnier to me. It's not an underlying, like, yeah, in your face, William, like, your kids are such losers, they don't get a photo. She's straight up like, she could not care less. She's just like, these are the facts.
Yeah.
Your kids are losers, their photo gets defaced, so they don't get a picture. And then she straight up says, you guys are boring me now.
Yeah.
I'm going to go do something else. Gets up and leaves.
And then just leaves her food, too.
Oh, my God.
It is so funny to me when actors, like, act with food. I don't know why that is so funny to me. Because they couldn't be bothered to have this conversation that they're, like, eating food while it's happening. I have a weird qualm with this episode.
What? So, that it's too good? I agree.
Exactly. No. Just like the logistics. Like the main problem I have with this show usually is just the logistics. I don't think this world is very well thought out. So with the yearbooks, are these just the school copies of the yearbooks? Do they not get their own copies of the yearbook?
No, I think they do. But it's like, because libraries, at least my high school, you could go to the library and you could check out a yearbook from any year.
Sure.
And I think those are the ones that get defaced.
Okay.
And, like, those are the ones that, like, you will go. Because I remember specifically when I was in high school, David Spade went to my high school, who's, like, the voice of Kuzco in Emperor's New Groove, and he was on SNL and stuff. He's, like, really the only prominent person to come out of my high school besides, like, Chelsea Staub, who went there for a semester. But I specifically went to the library to try and find David Spade's yearbook to, like, see a picture of him. And so it is, like, students do sometimes go look through old yearbooks, and if the copy in the library has your picture defaced, like, that is embarrassing.
Totally. And I get that. But it's also, like, it's just weird. I just thought it was weird. And also, this school, McKinley High, has such an intense bullying problem. And, you know, they have the slushy machine still in the building, which I know you love. And then they have these yearbooks that are, like, so rampantly defaced. And instead of, like, tackling the bullying problem, they're just like, let's just not let these kids have a yearbook photo.
But isn't that so true to how that gets handled in real life?
So true. I just hate to see it. Let's be real. I totally get
that. Not even just like bullying in a high school, but just the world in general.
Yeah.
It's always like, instead of attacking the people who are like doing the wrong thing, let's just cut the thing entirely.
Yeah. So disappointing.
Here's my thoughts on that.
What are your thoughts?
I thought this while watching it. This club mm-hmm. has Puck,
mm-hmm.
Finn,
mm-hmm.
Mike,
mm-hmm.
Matt,
mm-hmm.
Brittany,
mm-hmm.
Santana.
Mm-hmm.
Six people who are established over and over to be, like, exceptionally popular.
Yep.
That is half the club.
Yep.
And then if you tack on Quinn, which Quinn has had, like, a fall from grace, but Quinn was previously the most popular girl in school. Over half this club is, like, the school's top dogs.
Exactly.
And you're telling me they're still getting mercilessly bullied? I understand, like, when just Finn was in the club that he was getting bullied. But when you add three other football players and three cheerleaders, I do not buy that this club is still, like, bottom of the food chain.
I don't buy it either.
Doesn't make any sense.
To me, if I went to school with Queen Bee Quinn and she joined Glee Club, I would join Glee Club.
Yeah, if I saw Queen Bee Quinn wearing army pants and flip-flops, I would buy army pants and flip-flops.
One time, Queen Bee Quinn punched me in the face. It was awesome. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. I completely agree. Like, it doesn't, like, and I was a human who went to school around this time. And I had so many friends who, like, popular, like, in our school, the popular kids were the kids who did, like, student government. And when they did theater, they were the, like, top dogs. And we all, like, fawned over them. And we were like, mm-hmm. oh, my God, what's his bucket is here? What's her face is here? Like, we loved them. And they got so much praise for it.
So at my school, our choir program was a lot like the Glee Club, where it had, like, a lot of more popular kids in it. Our choir just, like, wasn't nerdy to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we had, like, a bunch of, like, athletes and jocks and, like, cheerleaders and, like, all kinds of people in our choir. So just being in choir was not anything weird. And then our theater program whenever our theater program would do straight plays, which for you non-theater people is a non-musical.
When they don't sing.
Only the theater kids would audition. And so the straight plays were like pretty embarrassing and no one would go. And it like, they weren't cool to do. But then when we would do musicals, the choir kids would audition. Yep. And so a lot of the popular kids would be in the musicals. So therefore the musicals were cool.
Yeah.
Like no one thought being in the musical was embarrassing because the popular kids were doing it. Whereas being in a straight play could be embarrassing because the popular kids weren't doing it. It's like by high school logic, if over half the kids in the Glee Club are cool, Glee Club is no longer embarrassing to do. Like, kids in high school are such followers that they would be like, I'm not saying that, like, the Glee kids would be, like, the top dogs by any means. Like, Artie and Tina would still get bullied probably on their own time, but no one would be getting ridiculed for being in Glee Club.
No, and I completely agree. Like, especially when you're in high school, and, like, myself included, like, you're so quick to be like, oh, this is the cool new thing. And, like, cool new things are always happening. Like, and that is exciting. And I don't buy it. I don't think this world was very well thought out. Like,
I don't buy it at all.
I think it's lazy.
Too many popular kids on this team.
I know.
For it to be so ridiculous.
And then that also sucks because this show is supposed to be like a show about misfits, right? And then we have over half of the people in this club being really popular kids. And I'm like, I love them. They're my favorite characters. And they are misfits in their own way, for sure. But also, I don't know.
But beyond that, it's not like Finn joins the Glee Club and he kind of, for like an episode, but he kind of becomes less popular. And then like Quinn joins the Glee Club and mainly she gets pregnant and so she becomes less popular. But like Puck, Brittany, Santana, Mike, like they all still keep their social standing. If it was like they joined the Glee Club and we saw that like they became kind of a pariah. But for all intents and purposes from what we've seen, they've all kept their social standing. So like what the crap?
Anyway, this episode is awesome.
Let's talk about something else.
Problems I have with the show in general, not this episode. Okay, let's talk about, should we get into the Will and Terry of it all?
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Let's get into it.
You remember that TikTok trend?
Yes.
Where the sound was like, was anybody else scared? Raise your hand if you were scared.
Yeah
me too. I was really scared.
The Tyra Banks
I saw
thing.
One of those. Yeah, I saw one of those, and the caption was, me after watching the scene where Will finds out that Terry's not pregnant.
It is genuinely frightening.
Which, honestly, you have to give credit where credit is due, is due to Matthew Morrison's acting ability. It is a very scary scene.
It is really
straight
scary.
Up, I thought he was going to hit her 12 different times in that scene.
I thought for sure he was going to hit her.
It was so... I'm very glad he didn't.
Me too. I would... I was very...
Whoa, the emotion was there. It was scary.
Yeah. I... Like, when he, like, grabs her wrist and, like, pins her up against the wall, I was like, please don't hit her.
Also, as someone who... is like a pretty bad liar, especially when I'm put on the spot. Shout out, Terry should do improv. He walks up to her and he holds a pregnancy pad. What is this without missing a beat? Oh, that's a pregnancy pad. You wear them to like try on maternity wear to see what it
would
look like when you're showing.
Immediately. I would be
seriously,
like, oh,
I'd be
cool.
Like, okay, you're forgiven. I trust you. Like, whoa.
She's like, oh yeah, Kendra stole it for me.
To you.
I was like, I love Terry. Like, and I know... Terry is doing some bad thing. Like, she's not, like, obviously she is in the wrong here. I just love her so much. There's something in me that just loves her. And, like, the moment when she's like, I panicked. I didn't know what to do. I totally thought I was having a kid. And then, like, it wasn't a lie at first. I was like, jeez, this poor woman. Like, I know that she's the bad guy in this situation, but I love her. I just...
Well, I do like... Especially for how, like, unsympathetic the writers try to make Terry. I do like that they give Emma the moment later where Emma says...
Oh, my God, yes!
That she's like, her methods were wrong. Like, she did a bad thing, but I can understand why she did it.
Yeah. I loved that moment.
I do appreciate that they give us that little moment of like, Emma herself is being like, I understand why she did it and like what pushed her to that point. Also, Will tells Terry to pick up her shirt. Mm-hmm. Who says that? Have you ever in your life had someone tell you to pick up your shirt? You say that if the shirt is off their body and on the floor.
Yeah.
Lift up, William.
Show me your baby bump.
Can you imagine he's holding Terry's wrist? She's pinned against the wall. And he's like, pick up your shirt. What? Pick up your shirt. And she goes, I'm sorry, do you mean lift?
That's what you would do for sure. Let me read you my notes. So immediately I have, so my first note is, she did not have to go that hard, talking about Mercedes. And then the next scene, it just jumps into, like, from Van Halen to this number. I mean, from that number to this scene, it's so fast.
The background music is, like, really got my pulse going.
I know. I was so scared. Here are my notes. Oh, ghost, it's happening!
I literally, my first note is in all caps, straight up, it's the same thing. My notes go from, how on earth did a local commercial get the rights to Jump? To, in all caps, holy crap, I forgot this is the episode where Will finds out.
I totally did not remember that. I had last week.
And the second it switched to him going through the closet, I was like, oh, no, it's happening.
I know. Because last week, it sets it up so well. Last week, like, I was like, I know everything's going to fall apart. Everything's about to fall apart, and I'm pumped for it. I did not think it would fall apart this fast.
Yeah, no, they really go for it.
But I have to tell you, Ian, I do have a problem with this scene.
What is
it? Here it is. I don't think Matthew Morrison is a very good actor.
That's fine.
That's what it is. And he's wearing green and he looks more like a turtle than he ever has.
He does! This was my turtle watch scene of the week.
Literally.
He looks like a turtle in the scene.
He totally
does.
My
issue with this scene is when he says to her, you have made yourself a stranger to me.
The writing is not like, good in this scene.
Okay, Shakespeare. Like, who the crap is talking like that?
I know. He kept saying things that were so weird.
Yeah, it was very, like, not at all how you would talk in the heat of the moment.
Cause he
also,
said
not how you
like,
would talk in regular life, period. Who says that to someone?
He said something, like, he screamed something along the lines of, like, how could you? And it was, like, so dramatic and so... Ugh. I just don't think he's a good actor, and it really brought me out of it. I think our girl friend of the podcast, Jesslyn Gilsig, holds it down, but he is not giving her much. Like, I can tell, like, I don't know, I was just watching them do it, and he is, like, you know, pushing out one tear, and she's like, you know, I don't know, I just... Ugh.
No, she really sells it, and I will agree that she's the best part of this scene.
Oh, easy.
I just think he does a good job of being scary, because I, as an audience member,
was
scared.
Was that scary also, for you? Were you scared? Raise your hand if you were scared.
Yeah, raise your hand if you're scared. Me too, I was really scared.
Me too, I was really scared.
When he says to her, I loved you, Terry. I really loved you. And I wrote, ooh, past tense.
Ooh, we got
it. What a brutal line, William.
It was pretty brutal. I wonder, jeez, I just, man's a turtle. The man is a turtle.
He is. I'm glad you finally see it. It's like,
I had never seen it as bad as I saw it this episode.
When he is angry and also crying, it is especially a turtle.
Yeah, because his mouth gets so tight.
Yeah, his mouth gets so tight. And then, like, something about, like, he kind of, like, points his eyebrows up, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he, like, furrows them, but, like, furrows them upwards. And a turtle is coming out to play. Here he is. And he wants you to know that you have made yourself a stranger to him.
He really said,
you know how you talk to your wife.
I don't know.
And, yeah, I don't know.
You always have to do that to me.
What?
I always have to belt a song.
I have to
and you
modulate.
Have to take it up.
It's my, I'm sorry, it's a
who's
it's
the mezzo here?
Curse.
It's me.
It's me. All right. What next? What do you want to talk about next?
Ooh, I also want to talk about how, so Finn, not Finn, jeez, oh my God, I can't believe I said that. Will goes to the school to sleep at the school, and he looks at this stack of mattresses, and I presume he doesn't know much about what happened at the mattress place. I presume he knows little to nothing about it, because that happened, like, that afternoon, right?
Well, he says to Figgins, when Figgins disqualifies him, he said, I didn't know, I had nothing to do with that. Yeah. Like, he wasn't aware it was happening.
Exactly. So he just sees this stack of mattresses he has nothing, like, nothing to do with, and he opens one. And that made me so angry. And I didn't even remember that was, like, the downfall in the episode, but I was like, that's not yours. You know you can't do anything with a mattress that you have opened. I thought it was selfish.
Here's the deal.
He should have slept on the plastic.
I had the exact same internal monologue, but then I just thought about it, and I was like, have you ever had a day that, like, the day is so terrible that you get home, you don't question anything. Like, something weird happens, and you're like, sure, that might as well happen today. I don't care. And you just, like, do whatever because you don't give a crap. Like, I've had days where I get home, and I'm so mad, I purposely make the house a mess because I'm in such a bad mood. Like, instead of, like,
a Gemini. Oh, my God.
I will, like, kick off my shoes. I will, like, throw my bag because, and not just, like, I set them on the floor. Like, I throw it at something because I'm in such a bad mood. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if I had just found out that my wife had been lying to me for, like, 4 months that I was not going to have a kid, like, all of that just happened. I have now left the house. I have nowhere to go tonight. You would be in, like, such a dark and such an angry and such a confused place that I would walk in and see a stack of mattresses, and I would be like, why are these here? But then I would be like, frankly, I don't care why they're here. Like, they might as well be here. Everything sucks anyway. And I would do the exact same thing. Hmm. I'd be like, you know what? I'll deal with this at another time. I'm so pissed off. I'm just going to do what I want to do right now. And I would sleep on one. So I understand where it's coming from.
I get that. And I get sleeping on one. I do not understand opening it. Like, as a person who maybe operates in a world where I'm, like, scared of the repercussions of anything, I would at least put my own blanket on top of the plastic.
He didn't have a blanket. I would open it. He walked out. Oh, did he?
No, no. He brought his pillows and blanket. He set his pillows and blanket onto his desk.
So are we to believe he either A, has a pillow and blanket in his car at all times, or B, stormed out of the house with Tara going, Will, please don't leave, please don't leave, please. And then 5 minutes later comes back in, hey, I'm so sorry, Terry. I just got to pick up a pillow and a blanket. I'll be out in a jiff.
I don't know how he got it, but he had it. He could have bought it. His wife does work. He probably gets a family discount at Sheets and Things.
Honestly, that's more believable that he went out and bought a pillow and blanket.
Yeah.
That's my headcanon.
Yeah. But I wouldn't break it, because I know you cannot return a mattress, and those aren't his.
Yeah, I straight up didn't know you couldn't return a mattress if you laid on it. I had no clue.
Yeah.
But also, he just sees that they're a gift. He probably thought, like, oh, someone donated this to the Glee Club. I don't know why. I'll worry about it later. But, like, these are ours, so I might as well use one, you know?
Mm. Yeah, and I totally
get... Like, he didn't know that those mattresses were going to get them disqualified.
Yeah, totally. Just like the Cheetah Girls didn't know that them taking shmoney for their very first performance would,
once again,
disqualify them.
Mattress is simply Cheetah Girls 2.
It truly is.
That is the thesis statement of this episode. Rachel is Galleria, because Rachel's all business. You know who else is Galleria? Me.
You.
Who's Aqua? Tina. Tina is Aqua because they could not care less about Aqua, and they could not care less about Tina.
I hate that. Who am I? There's a very clear answer.
Who are you?
Yep.
Oh, gosh. Dorinda. I don't know. Are you?
Yeah.
You're Dorinda?
For sure.
Oh, great.
I would be the one for shizzle who would go to Spain, meet a hot guy, and then go to a dance class with him, and then fall in love. Well, they don't really
In the world of mattress, that is obviously...
Obviously.
Quinn.
Sure.
And Quinn Hood. What is Andrea Bylon's character's name? Also, is that her real name?
I don't remember. Give me a second.
I remember they call each other like Chi-Chi and Coco or something stupid like that. That movie sucks. So
it's Dorinda, Galleria,
also, Aqua, and... lest we forget...
I'm IMDb-ing this.
These names are not their nicknames, because their nicknames are like Chi-Chi and Coco. Dorinda, who is, I'm pretty sure, a white girl, that's her real name.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild to me.
Chanel.
Okay. Chanel. Okay. Chanel. What is Chanel's whole shtick in that one? Chanel is the one that gets wrapped up. So then wouldn't Chanel be Rachel? Because Rachel's the one that gets them the deal with the mattress company. But Rachel is so Galleria, she can't be both.
No, she really can't. And like...
So is Finn Chanel?
I think so. Okay. And then Chanel's the one who like befriends the other girl, and like they're like, she's like,
and
come
frankly,
on, you can perform with me.
Finn sings the entirety of Jump, besides the verse by Artie. Oh, so to review everyone, Cheetah Girls Mattress is Cheetah Girls 2. Rachel is Galleria. Finn is Chanel.
Yep.
Quinn is Dorinda, I guess.
I guess.
And Tina is Aqua because they had to put her
Mercedes
in somewhere.
I also think Mercedes could be Dorinda.
But what is Mercedes even doing in this episode?
Nothing. But she does have that killer solo, so I want to feature her in the Cheetah Girls.
She does, but Quinn and does Dorinda more. And you could say that Quinn trying to get back with the Cheerios, like the Cheerios are her Spanish prince, and she's getting distracted by the Cheerios.
Sure.
But
okay.
Then she realizes that her true place is with the Cheetah Girls, which is the Glee Club.
And not the
Amigas
Tango Dancer.
Cheetah's Friends for Life. So,
the rhythm in
each
other.
Conclusion.
That's what keeps us tight.
Amigas, Cheetahs, living the dream. Nothing is ever gonna come between. Amigas, can I tell you the excitement?
Tell me.
I had the first time I listened to Strut after my mission and I could understand Angel's verse.
I love that. What is it?
He says, oh gosh. I remember he says, Descubra mi Barcelona. That sounded so bad, which means discover my Barcelona. Hold up. I'll look up the lyrics.
Yeah, do.
This
hear
is
me
very
out.
Important.
I still have on my phone, I have a few Cheetah Girls songs on my phone, but from that one, my favorite song is the follow me into my world with every step
we take. Okay, to
the
this
tango
day,
take control.
If I listen to the opening number of Cheetah Girls 2, which is the chill it out, break it down, that's the way we do it now, it still gets me pumped out of my mind. Because do you remember how every summer they would have a commercial that was Disney Channel Summer?
Yep.
And they would always feature some song from some like DCOM or show or whatever.
Yep.
And they would like play all the events that were happening that summer. And that year, the opening number to Cheetah Girls 2 was the Disney Channel Summer song. And that movie came out when I was in like fourth or fifth grade. Mm-hmm. So I was like ideal Disney Channel age.
Right. Yeah,
and
for sure.
And so I feel like I'm like 10 years old and summer is starting when I listen to it. It still gets me pumped.
That's
okay,
awesome.
here's Angel's verse. Okay. He sings, Bienvenidas esto es mi sueño, which means welcome, this is my dream.
Aww.
Síganme, descubran mi Barcelona, which is follow me, discover my Barcelona. And then he just says, welcome, this is my dream again.
Oh.
That's it.
Nice.
Well, I definitely thought Angel Say was more featured in that song, but I guess he's not.
He is so handsome. Oh my gosh.
I mean, sure. The Fabio hair is a little much. All right.
Look at your haircut.
I don't have Fabio hair yet. Say that again in 2 months, Lena. Check yourself. Okay. So, the plot twist, back to Will sleeping on a mattress in Cheetah Girls 2, in Glee, Cheetah Girls 2. This Glee, as we have talked about, and Ryan Murphy in general, is infamous for truly flying by the seat of its pants.
Truly.
And just making things up as it goes. However, this plot twist, to have, like, they do a local commercial, and then they get paid in mattresses, and it happens to be the exact night when Will leaves his wife, and he sleeps on one of the mattresses, and so he can't return it, and so he is disqualified, and they're now going into sectionals without a coach. That is such an exciting plot twist.
Oh, for sure.
And it is, like, so well planned and so well thought out, and it gets me, like, truly... The stakes going into the first sectionals episode are, like, sky high. Yeah. The fact that Will has been disqualified, they are without a coach, the Glee Club is gonna get canceled if they don't win sectionals. It is so, so exciting.
Yeah.
And do you have any other thoughts about this episode before we go into Charlie Chaplin's smile?
Let me take a look.
I mean, we haven't talked about Quinn at all. We should talk about Quinn.
We haven't. Let's talk about Quinn.
So, Quinn wants to get back on the Cheerios just to be in the Cheerios picture so that her kids can look back and see who she was in high school.
Which, like, yes. In all intents and purposes, she has been on the squad for the majority of the year. She should be on the squad.
She got kicked off the squad in October. So
but
I disagree.
Still, I think she should still be in the photo.
I mean, sure. But she has not by any means been on for the majority of the year because she was only on the squad for 3 months out of a, like, 9 months.
Yeah, but she has been captain for a long time.
Yeah.
She made a mistake. The girl should be in the photo.
Which that brings me to my point, which is...
What's your point?
How on earth was Quinn the cheerleading captain as a freshman in high school?
I know.
Was that the JV team? Because it doesn't say JV on the page.
I know. And also, no shade to my literal queen, Diana Agron. There's no shade coming from me. She is not the strongest dancer out of any of them. There's no way. Is it because, like, also, she has the most influential family? That doesn't make any sense to me.
But a 14-year-old would not make captain. That's not how that works.
She'd barely make the squad.
Frankly, a sophomore wouldn't make captain, but I'll excuse that, like, whatever. But yeah. A freshman? No.
No. But that's the thing, is this show is flying by the seat of its pants. They barely know how old these kids are. All they know is they wanted
they
the head cheer.
They have not decided their age yet. They don't decide their age until the end of season two when they're like, let's not have them graduate yet.
Yeah, and literally, like, Tina has a line like, oh, Mike is older than me. And that's like,
because frankly,
like, you guys.
This whole season they've been written as if they're upperclassmen. And then you find out they're not.
You find out that Tina is 14. So, anyway, the show is flying by the seat of its pants. They barely know how old these people are. Blah, 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 blah.
I think
she should be in the photo.
I do love Queen Bee Quinn using her powers for good instead of evil.
Yeah.
And, like, using her essentially, like, meanness and kind of self-confidence and ability to get what she wants.
Yep.
To stand up for the Glee Club and stand up to Sue. I love it.
I have to say. There's, you know, the moment where she's standing up to Quinn, to not Quinn. Jeez Louise, I cannot. I'm so bad with people's names. Ugh. Anyway.
Sue,
yes. She's standing up to Sue, and then she's like, I'd rather stay in Glee. And then she saunters out of her office.
And she stares. She keeps eye contact with Sue for a while as she's leaving.
Bitch walks backwards. And then she does, like, a hair of her ponytail flip. And I said, how? The woman is magic. How?
Here's my thought. We already had essentially the same scene a few episodes ago in Acapellas, I think. There is a scene. It is Acapellas. There is almost this exact scene in the third episode where Quinn talks to Sue. And she's like, you know what? Glee Club, they celebrate differences, and they actually accept me for who I am, and then she leaves. And now, what is this, like, 9 episodes later, once again, she's like, I would rather be part of a team that's proud to have me, like Glee Club. Quinn, you learned this lesson 6 weeks ago.
I mean,
9 weeks ago. Why are you, this happens all the time. They have the characters learn the exact same lesson over and over.
Over and over. Yep. I hate that about this show. Like, I swear to God. And I know, like, this season, to me, gets a little bit of a pass. because like they didn't know they were writing the show for as long as they did.
It consistently got pushed back that it was like 6 episodes. Just kidding. You're going to have 13 episodes. Just kidding. You're going to have 22 episodes.
Exactly. So I totally get like they didn't plan for an arc this long. So they're filling it with like Quinn having, you know, learning the same thing over and over. But like, especially in later seasons, when they knew this show was a cultural phenomenon, you would think that they would sit down and like storyboard this thing out, and they just don't.
Straight up, during season one, the show got picked up for 2 more seasons. They were told, you for sure will have through end of season 3. And instead of planning arcs for the next 2 seasons, they were like, we'll probably figure it out as we go. And in season 3, they truly are just doing whatever they want. By that totally. Point.
And then it gets worse. It just gets worse. Yeah, and you'd think that, like, with all the people watching this show, the millions of people that are tuning in every single week, that they would take it a bit more seriously.
Okay, so.
Okay. Let's talk about
Will finds out. Will finds out about the disqualification just because I want to get this line in because it's so funny. And he says, they did this song for commercial. They didn't realize it was an innocent mistake. And Sue says, and what if I were to just innocently murder you, Will? I'd still have to go to trial. Probably get off with justifiable homicide. Excellent line.
Excellent.
All right. Now into Smile. This number, I will say, they truly... This whole episode is the Glee Club doesn't want to do a picture because it's going to get defaced. And then they 100% just breeze over their change of heart. They're like, I don't know, they're all into it now, I guess. Like, we know why Quinn is into it. But does she really have that much pull with the club still that she could convince everyone else to be excited about it? But I'm willing to forgive it because I love this scene.
Love it.
I love it. It is such a great build that you just found out that Will can't be their I can't coach them for sectionals. Like, they're on their own. The stakes are so high for sectionals, as I've already mentioned. And then it cuts into like such a melancholy, beautiful song that just the whole song is about like, put on a brave face, like just keep trucking on, keep moving forward no matter what's going on. And it's just like a montage of all the characters smiling for their pictures despite what's going on in their lives. It is perfectly on the nose, but in a good way this time. Usually when I say that things are too on the nose for the show, I'm mad. But this song, with them actually having to smile for picture day while all of their lives are falling apart. Like, Ken's about to marry... I mean, not Ken. Emma's about to marry a man that she's not in love with. Mm-hmm. Will just left his wife. Mm-hmm. The Glee kids just lost their teacher. It's so perfect. And then to end it with the picture still getting defaced is such a good ending to this episode. That it's like, no. Like, their circumstances didn't change. They are still outcast. They're still made fun of. They're still bullied. They've just learned that that's a part of life and they have to keep going on through it.
Yeah.
I love how this episode ends. It is such a strong ending.
I totally agree. Beautifully said, buddy.
Thank you.
I have nothing to add. That was awesome. Yeah.
Oh, I have a few things to add. Okay. One.
Tell me.
When they show the yearbook page, like, fully defaced... Mm-hmm. Everyone has been drawn on except Mike Chang. And honestly, respect.
Respect. Mike is the best. I've been saying that for years. He is my unsung hero.
Even Azemio and Karofsky know you don't mess with Mike Chang. You he rocks. Don't.
I'm in love with him. Did you see that he is in like a movie?
He's in some like action TV show now or something.
I think he's in an action TV show, but he's also in a rom-com that we should totally watch.
I'd be down.
I know. I am so in love with him. He is so beautiful.
Also, when Karofsky writes, no directions.
No directions! Oh my god, I pissed myself. Man. That's so funny. Like,
that is some lazy bullying.
That is a dig.
Come on?
He's like, oh, the no directions. Gosh. He also says something earlier that is so funny to me when they're bullying Finn in the locker room. What does he say? Karofsky says something where he's like, how do you spell, what's it called? Do you remember?
Loser.
Loser, because I'm going to write it on his forehead. He asks how to spell loser. Yeah. And then Ezemio is like, yeah, his big potato head. I can write a whole haiku on there. Oh my gosh. So funny. No directions.
No directions. So burn. How's it feel, Glee Club? All right, do you have any miscellaneous thoughts?
Let me take a look. When Will and Sue fight in Figgin's office, and Will is like, hey, and Sue goes, hey, what, mister? So I love to see Sue and Will
I don't
fight.
Understand, because Will says to Sue, he says, you just don't want to accept that, like, my kids are going to win sectionals and they're going to rule the school. Why is everyone so convinced that they're immediately going to become super popular if they win sectionals? Like, you have, as we've established, you have six incredibly popular kids already on the team and you're still getting bullied. If you win, like, a district competition, no one's going to, they're probably not even going to know that you won. And it's like, the thing is, like, Rachel saying it, I get, because of course it fits her character. But characters that should know better, like the adults, keep saying it.
The
like, what fairy tale universe are you living in that you think that them winning freaking sectionals is gonna make them popular?
And I do kind of understand where Will could say that kind of stuff, because that's how it was when he was in school.
Yeah.
But, like, it's so weird. And everyone just kind of, like, lets him. And even Emma in this episode says something like, you know, you're not going to have to worry about this in 2 weeks. Like, you're not going to have to worry about the yearbook being defaced in 2 weeks, because you're going to have one. And hear me out. How? Okay. I was on yearbook staff once, and you have to plan the yearbook. I know. But you have to plan the yearbook all year long, and you have to submit it, like, months before, before school ends. So they got their yearbooks. Does that mean that that clip of it being defaced is in the future?
Is like the future? I never thought of that.
Or did they just like rapid fire print those yearbooks on school campus in December?
But, yeah, why on earth would you give out a yearbook in December?
I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense.
And why would they put, I don't know. Like, the yearbook, like, school picture day happens earlier in the year. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's intercut with actual yearbook, like, actual yearbook pages from that year. There's no way.
I'm going to decide it's a flash forward. I'm going to say that theory that you said is right. And that shot of Karofsky and Ezemio, it actually takes place around episode 21, Funk.
Probably. That's the only way that makes sense to me.
Yeah, that had literally,
because I used to get my yearbook on the last day of school.
Yeah,
we
would
get
our
yearbooks on the last day of school.
Well, here's another thing. In future seasons, it's established that that regionals takes place like mid-spring.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, regionals takes place in, like, May.
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll cross that boat when we come to it. They just operate in their own time zone. Also, I said we'll cross that boat.
We'll cross that boat!
You know, when you have to walk across a boat to get to something, that's what we're gonna do. Anyways, that's a season wrap on Glee Cheetah Girls 2.
Glee Cheetah Girls 2, Once Upon a Mattress.
Once Upon a Mattress. What was your best part, worst part?
So my best part of this episode, other than so much of it, I'm going to say Mercedes belting a high C. That bitch did not have to go that high. She did not have to go that hard. And she did. And you know what? We do not deserve her. We do
and
not
she did
deserve
it
her.
On tour. And here's the deal. You could easily say that it was pre-recorded on tour because, like, most of the backing vocals were pre-recorded. No, because on Showmance, Jenna Ushkowitz and Kevin McHale's podcast, where they talk like pretty openly about Glee. Like, they don't make up lies to save face, because I mean, the show's been off the air for like 5 years. Why do they care?
Right.
They and Amber Riley herself, when she was a guest, have mentioned that she would sing that note live on tour.
And Amber Riley is an amazing, amazing performer. It's not surprising to me.
An Olivier Award winner.
Literally. I love her. And, like, Just Jump is such an amazing song. It's quintessential Glee. I love it. It's so much, there's so much joy. Absolutely fills my heart with Glee to see. That was my best part. Okay, Ian, what with was Glee? Your best part?
Our queen, Rachel Berry. Yeah. I've said it. I said it I before. Knew you would. I'll say it again. Rachel's best episode. Mm-hmm. She's wonderful in this episode. Everything she does is hysterical.
Yeah.
I love super intense Rachel so much. Yeah,
she's awesome.
What was your worst part?
My worst part is probably... this episode was very good. And I'm gonna say my worst part is probably just Matthew Morrison being not as good of an actor as I wanted him to be. Yeah. I really, like, I love this show. I was very excited for everything to blow up. I'm still very excited that it blew up. Don't get me wrong. But could you imagine if Matthew Morrison was even just a little bit better of an actor? Yeah. How impactful that would have been? Man. Whatever. What was your worst part, Ian?
I mean, it's hard because, as I've said numerous times, this is like a top three episode for me.
Yeah.
I think my worst part is Azemio and Karofsky.
Really?
I think the dialogue they give Azemio. I think it's lazy. I think it's the laziest, most cliched bully dialogue I've ever seen.
Totally.
So okay. I think that might be my worst part.
You don't want to write a haiku on Finn Hudson's head?
That's probably the best line in the scene.
It was really funny. I laughed out loud. I went, ha-ha! Great. Awesome. Well,
was that? It also wasn't that bad. Like, truly, I really love this episode, and it's hard for me to pick a worse part because it's all very special to me. All right. Well, mattress. Also, special mattress. Shout out to Sue saying that she wants a holiday where all the uglies stay home and she doesn't have to look at them. And then afterwards, she says, Andrea, that's Sue's corner segment. Talking about you.
Who, should we give a shout out? Should we give a shout out to
from the podcast, Kaylee Kailchip?
Kaylee Kailchip left us a review. We haven't gotten a review in a minute. We were feeling pretty sad. My body's literally been pretty empty with tattoos. I want you to literally read it, Ian.
Lena and I were talking to each other saying that it's been a while since we got a review and it was making us sad. And then I just on a whim opened up Google Podcasts. Everyone, here's a great time to plug it. Please rate and review our podcast because it does make our numbers go up. It helps other people find us. But friend of the podcast, Kaylee, who interacts with us on all of our Twitter posts, and we freaking love it.
What's her at? I'll find out. Oh, it's Chip of Kale. At Chip of Kale.
Okay, at Chip of Kale. She left us a review that says,
God bless her.
I adore these guys so much. I love these, in quotes, couple of 20-somethings. and wish I was friends with them in real life, even though I feel like I am. I am truly obsessed with Glee, and this is such a good way for me to feel like I'm getting to talk about and relive it without having to irritate the crap out of all of my friends about it. Also, I fully expect this entire thing tattooed on Lena. Please include pictures. Thanks.
Oh, I love our reviews. One of my favorite reviews we got was someone being like, this makes me wish that I had people to talk about Glee with, or just friends. And I want people to know, if you feel like me and Ian are your friends, we are your friends. We absolutely love you. That's not like, we're your friends for Seriously, sure.
Anyone who takes the time to listen to this is my best friend.
Best friend. Best friend. We literally love you, so...
please leave us reviews, please, everyone. Follow us on Twitter at Recovering Gleek.
Mm-hmm.
You can do our weekly Twitter polls.
Ooh, should we talk about the polls?
Yeah, so our most recent polls, Reason has won out, and you all voted that when you do Call Me, you do a Hang Loose, you do not do a Rock On. So which, I would personally like to thank everyone for that.
Yeah.
And then we also did a special Halloween poll where we asked in Rocky Horror Glee Show, which for those of you who don't know is the Halloween special in season two. We'll get to it when we get to it. But we asked who plays the better Magenta. Well, first let's start with Columbia. Who plays the better Columbia between Brittany and Tina? Brittany won by a large margin. I love Tina, but frankly, I wasn't surprised. I also voted for Brittany.
Yeah.
Then we asked who played the better Magenta between Quinn and Santana. And honestly, there was, this was the, like, the tightest race we've had.
Contested.
Besides the diva off. It was like Santana was first on the first day, and then Quinn pulled ahead, and then Santana pulled ahead, and then Quinn pulled ahead. But ultimately, Santana did win. And she has been elected the best Magenta.
Which, I love Santana. Do not get me wrong. She's the bomb.com. But, like, Quinn's solo in Time Warp
is
transcendent. I was very surprised by that.
I listened to that. I listened to specifically the Glee version of Time Warp probably, like, 30 times this Halloween season.
It's so good.
And Quinn's solo might be my favorite part of the whole song. But, you know, the people have spoken, and they said Santana, and I won't fight them on it.
Like, you know what I love in that song? Not to fucking simp over Finn one more time, but when he belts, oh my god! I love him.
We will discuss it more in depth when we get to that episode. God. Follow us on TikTok and Instagram at RecoveringGleek _ podcast. And I just, like, you know, have a good time. Go spread some glee.
Yeah. Okay. You're going to listen to this the day after the election. I hope that for this amount of time, we could take your mind off of the absolute political
whatever
unrest.
Is happening.
We love you. Go spread some glee out there. No matter what's going to happen, make sure you're a good person.
And you know, every time I scratch my nails down someone else's back, I hope you feel it. Can you feel it? And I'm here to remind you. I took that way too high.
Yeah, you did. Go spread some glee out there. We love you. Here's a little kiss on your forehead.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at RecoveringGleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.